Father, we come to you again and we thank you, Lord, so much. We have so much to be thankful for, and you see our hearts, and we name a few things, but there's much more to it than that. We thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for taking a abode in our hearts and lives that we might serve the living God. And we invite you not only in our heart but in our midst today to help us with the message. Lord, thank you for our country and what we know took place down through the years for us to be here today, to be able to worship you freely. Thank you for our armed services around the world and what's been done in the past and what's been doing now in the present and even what will be done in the future. And dear Father, we ask somehow or another that whatever is done in this country, help us hold the lines, stay by the stuff, that God be honored in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I'd like to read down about verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, as the psalmist says, the memory of the just is blessed. Watch that, folks. The memory of the just is blessed. But then he says, but the name of the wicked shall rot. This world is living the most wicked time it's ever been, even though wicked has always been on this earth. And yet there's many that feel that their wickedness will never have to get account for. But if I understand this, it's the name of the wicked shall rot. That means it will come to nothing to be other than the fact that where we know there'll be at, but there'll be no remembrance there in the sense of things that knowing individuals. I don't know, maybe they might. We know in Luke 16 there's remembrance of the rich man as Abraham told him to remember in thy lifetime what you have got. There may be a little remembrance that the worst case in this life is better than what's going to be in hell. You know that? So he says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. That means a man or woman who just runs off of the mouth all the time talking, never says anything, but talks a lot. And so it goes on. Now look, if you will, it would be in Psalms 112. And look down about verse 6. The psalmist said, surely he shall not be moved forever. Now he's talking about the blessed man in verse 1 that fears God, that delighted great in the commandments. His seed shall be mighty. Verse 2, wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Because his heart is right with God. In verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. God's in the center of it. And then he says, surely he shall not be moved forever. Watch. The righteous shall be everlasting remembrance. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Surely he'll not be moved from that. The righteousness will be, or righteous will be, in everlasting remembrance. Now turn with me, if you will, over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we read verse 10 through 13. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done, this is vanity. Notice he said, I saw the wicked buried. Sometimes the wickedness of the world becomes a norm to people because we live in a wicked society. It don't look so bad for those who live in that society. But I'll tell you, if you're a child of God and you're separated from that society and by having to live in it, you see a lot of things you wouldn't see if you were living in that society that didn't know the Lord. Do you hear what I said? God helps us see things in society. We're not out of the world. We're in the world, but the world's not in us, should not be. So we do have a measuring way. But wicked people don't have, to them it's norm. That's their life in this life. But he says here, Solomon said, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. It looks like a lot of these were in religious situations at times. They come and go from the place of the holy, and yet they go back in that world just as wicked as they were before. So something's happening. If they go to a place to assemble or to pray or even worship God, like some think they do, and go back in the world and no change in their life, then there's nothing going on in that assembly. And this is what he said. I saw him bare, and I seen him go in and out from the holy, come and go from the holy place. He said, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Even in the city they lived, they were forgotten for a period of time. Now watch. He said in verse 11, because sinners evil because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set up in them to do evil. Oh, they go back. Maybe they reach and they hear something about God and they go back into that world. And then suddenly, God don't seem to do anything as fast as they thought he would, or maybe like they thought they heard he would. And since he doesn't move as fast as people thinks he would if they did something wrong, and he'd be as righteous as he is, since he don't execute his judgment real fast, then they have a different mind about him. He said, the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. That is, it must not matter. You'd be surprised of the people who think because where they're living at doesn't really matter because God hadn't done anything yet. Don't you know, I was telling you about that story, the lady out in Oklahoma the other day who lost their house and everything, but she survived and was able to get away from the big bulk of the tornado that was there. And when she was interviewed by a newsman, at the end he said something like to her, that God was with her, and she said, turned her head down and said, no, sir. She said, I don't believe he was because I'm an atheist. Now, the fact that she was saved and others won't will make her think by Satan that everything's okay. Didn't get into what others got into. The wicked looks at it and says, if God isn't going to judge and he don't do it, he don't do it speedily, then it must not be nothing to it. It's a lie of Satan. It's a deception of Satan. Because God will do what he said he'd do. He made promises what he's going to do with evil. It's in Jesus Christ already been judged. It's outside of Jesus Christ. Then the person who don't have the payment of the penalty of sin taken in their heart, they will find themselves where God said they're going to go. He's not going to change his mind about that. And then notice he said, though a sinner do evil hundreds of times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. The sinner may do his evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Because their days are prolonged don't mean that God's not going to punish sin if it's not taken care of in Jesus Christ for them. And since Jesus has died, it can't help them unless they receive him as their Savior. And so here he goes on, he said, but surely I know that it would be well with them that fear God, those that trust God, those that believe in God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Did you see that? Are you even looking at your Bible and looking at it? He said, it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which is a shadow. There you go. There's the key. In other words, it may look like it's a year or two or three, but he says like a shadow. It's here and it's gone. If you're 80 years old, your life is just like a shadow. It's already passed you about. If you're 50-year-old, if you're 16, 17, it moves slow. But did you know the clock ticks the same at 16 as it does at 80? It's just the way things seem. And then he said, because he feareth not before God. In other words, he's coming and he feareth not before God, but there will come a day that he will have that fear and it'll be too late. I want to talk about to you this morning. Let's not forget. Let's not forget on this Memorial Day. I was thinking about a person put an advertisement I saw in the newspaper over in Michigan, and he put in there and said that it had an article where this man had bought a new speaker, a new loudspeaker to put in the church on behalf of his wife who passed away in memory of her. I don't think that'd be a pretty good memory, do you? But I'm talking about let's not forget good memories. I also heard where there's a young lady who said to a friend, you know, I'm so glad that I have taken first day. And the friend said, well, why would you say that? She said, well, the other day I seen the awfulest accident you ever seen. Said, I seen a car run over a man, and I want you to know it was awful. It was so bad. I'm telling you, I'm so glad I remember what I was taught in my first day. And this friend said, well, what was it you remember? She said, I remember to put my head between my legs before I fainted. Amen. Well, there are some things we remember that don't help us much. There are some things that remember that will help us. And I hope today we look at some of those as we go through a few thoughts. In every age, every nation has its memory memorial days. I don't care where you're at, when you have nations remember those of the past. And ours certainly, we have the obligation to do that for those that's gone in our days and past that we can be here today. There's been many folks that have given their life down through the years that we could stand here to have the freedom we've had today. And they celebrate the deeds of those who passed on, who sacrificed their lives for their nation's cause. Ladies and gentlemen, liberty comes at a terrible cost. Now, there's an evil force in this world, don't want anybody free. And yet, when the person trusts Christ, they say that you're not free, you're bound. They don't understand, though, to be bound with sin leads you to a destiny you have no choice about unless you trust Jesus as Savior. And then the wrath of God can come off of that individual at times. Our hearts are touched with when we think of the first group years ago, of the 1,000 patriots that died, even in Washington's day. And I was reading recently a story. They were exposed during the terrible winter months at Valley Forge. And it said when Washington's army was traveling to get to their destiny, said they could be traced by the bloody footprints that was in the snow. And many of them died just from the elements of the snow. Their feet were so frozen that when they walked, they had such bad shoes that the footprints in the snow were bloody, and you could trace them by that. You know, the same spirit has prevailed all down through the wars that our nation has been in, whether it be the Revolutionary War or the Spanish-American or the Civil War, when we had Civil War in our own nation here, or we go to World War I or II or the Korean War or the Vietnam War or Iraq or even over in Afghanistan where we've been at just getting out of right now, trying to get out of. Every last one of these have prevailed through the years in our nation for the purpose of us to be here today. Now, I know there's been people against different wars, but ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. What do you realize or not? And so it may be sad sometimes, it's better to fight them on other shores than on ours. You can't imagine what it's like to be in a war zone where you can see some things like happen out in Oklahoma. It looked like a war zone. You can't imagine what it'd be like being in a war zone other than in the Civil War when you were fighting, and when the enemy comes, even though both sides think they're right, when the enemy comes in and begins to put down the other group, they destroy everything. And if you happen to be part of that, you're going to find you are involved with it. So we have to be thankful for the fact that God has preserved us until the last few years, except with the Civil War we had among ourselves years ago. But many of us only hear about it, read about it, and study about it, but don't know much about it other than that. We'd like to go to the museum. By the way, the museum is no way like it was. No way. You can't create a situation to be like it was in those particular days. I guarantee you on that. So I have three things to mention this morning, and let's not forget. Number one is this. We glory, and rightly so, in the form of government which we have today, and it's due to those who laid their lives down for our freedom today. If you're in the armed service of any kind, stand, men or women. If you're in the armed service or have been, if you have been or are in now the armed service where you're at, stand. Just stand up for where you're at. And I say to you this morning, thank you and God bless you. I know I was 6 years. God bless you. And I say again, it's men and women like these down through the years in the past that gave their life. Went to early this morning, I was looking at some documentations of men have died, even over in Iraq and Afghanistan, what they were having to go through, and then others who were crippled, almost death, and they could hardly get around. And I thought about how many of us have been blessed to come to church today, and some of those could not go because they're not just able. Could not be able. They're in bed. They have to have someone turn them, this type of things. And what did they do? Did they deserve this? No. What did they do? They went when their government called, and they gave their life. Even though they didn't die, they gave their life to be where they're at. And I thank God for men and women who did that. Yet we must remember that democracy can be a dangerous thing in the people who are not Christians. Now, I know there's some say, well, unsaved people make good decisions too. But you got to keep in mind, behind the mind of an unsaved man is satanic. And anything that has to do with that which is peace entirely, unless there's evil involved with it, he's not going to support that. And I want you to know, our Constitution can be changed by the vote of the people. And when you get people into positions that where they're leadership by vote, and they have the mind that has to do with the wicked in the world and not Christianity, the first thing they begin to do is try to find a way to do away with Christianity. And they begin to make laws that cramples what God has given us to do as far as obeying him and getting the gospel out. And ladies and gentlemen, when people get into place to vote and people get into place to make laws, once a law is made, then the government has the right to enforce that law. And I want you to know, if you ever get to the place that every church, it could be a possibility that the churches could be closed simply because the laws are made that way. See, it can't happen here. I didn't think a lot of things happened in my lifetime here as happened it has. I didn't ever think we'd get a chance. You can go someplace in this country that's communistic today and go out and witness on the street better than you can here in America. You have to get a permit here. What I'm saying to you, there's things happening in Clarkston on the church that we don't maybe take note of, but it's happening at this particular time. Every evil thing can be made legal by the vote of the people when you get a person in the Congress in different places that do not believe in the basis that this Bible, this country is built upon, which is the Bible, the Word of God. I believe that. I believe our Constitution written around those who believe in God, and this Bible had a lot to do with it in those early days. Because what they said and what they did as far as the Constitution is concerned. And so evil things can be made illegal. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you this. There was a time you couldn't buy alcohol over unless you did it illegal. You can today. There's a time you couldn't buy marijuana except be illegal, but there's places in America that you can today. By the way, you'll be able to buy that all over this country before long. There's times, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see that many of the drugs that are illegal now is going to be accepted, because when you get people talking about what it can do for society, in the sense, even though those who are talking about it wants to do it for pleasure rather than for medical reasons, you'll find that those people get in position can change laws. And once laws are changed, ain't nothing you and I can do about it but suffer the consequence of. Unless you can get people back in there again to change the laws back like they were at the time. When church members are inclined to be worldly, and a big percentage of our nation makes no profession of faith in God through Jesus Christ, we should be concerned. No nation in the past has ever been able to survive that breakdown with the breakdown of the homes. No nation in this world could ever incline to survive these problems as far as the increase of crime and drunkenness. There's no nation in the past that's able to survive in corruption that's in government circles. No democracy can stand with these things very long when there's corruption like that, or there's a downplay of that which is right and to promote that which is wrong in our society. The heart must be changed. Hate must be replaced with love. Enemies must be changed into friends. You can't do that from the outside in. God has to do it from the inside out. And the only way God will do that is through Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, which has to do with Christianity. I don't care what the world says about our religion. It won't be long. Our mouths will be stopped for saying that too. You don't believe that? You just wait. I feel sorry for people the Lord don't come back who stand where I am now a few years from now. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you say, I don't believe that ever happened. You can't be, I didn't ever think you could go into some of the municipalities too and couldn't use Jesus Christ's name to pray in the end either. But there's places right now in our own state you can't do that because a rule has been made. So I'm telling you, folks, we're at a point where Christianity has been suppressed. And the bad thing about this, most Christians find themselves not so much involved that they don't even feel the suppression, because the oppression doesn't do any more for them what they're doing now. Amen. What's going to happen, though, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, suppression will be so great, we're going to realize it's too late. We've come to the place. It wouldn't surprise me, and I'm not a prophet. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lord don't hurry back and come back. You don't see that the church going to ground in this country. I mean the true body of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to have you always have that ecclesiastical system. You're going to always have that religious system, because the Antichrist is going to have that built up in his day. So it's going to be a height for Jesus comes back, and it's going to be a height going into the tribulation period for the first 3.5 years until the Antichrist gets in full control in the midst of that period of time. So I say again, this can only be done through Jesus Christ as our Savior, to change someone from the inside out. You can't hate, you can't love your enemies without a heart being changed. You can't. In fact, even your heart changes. You'll find sometimes an enemy, the flesh will rise up and want to rebel against it. And so, first of all, I'm thankful that we have a former government, which we have, and people have died for it down through the years. The second thing, let's not forget, Let's not forget what God has done for us. I mean that as individuals. One Greek word for remember means do without amnesia for me or of me. Don't have amnesia. Don't lose your memory about what I've done for you. You know, God over and over again reminded the Israelites not to forget. Don't you forget. Why would he have, after all what they saw God do for them, why would they forget? God knew they would. What? Don't you forget. When you get in the land, don't you forget. When you have your children, don't teach your children what they need to know when you get off the scene, Mother and Dad, so that they won't forget. Make them understand what God has done for you down through the years, and it was not done. And that's the reason Israel was abandoned and went into captivity like they did. Don't lose your memory about what I've done for you. Don't have amnesia for what I've done. Remember that you were servants in Egypt in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Don't forget. Don't let your descendants forget. They didn't just all of a sudden get this and born in this country of Canaan, and it's just a wonderful thing. They have to realize why they're there. It's not because of who they are. It's because who what you've done to obey me in the past, and they need to obey me now to stay there. They're here because they obeyed me. Abraham believed God, and God, his promises. They're here because I brought you to through the chastisement to get you to the place to know who to believe and not believe. And when you get off the scene, they need to know that. So they must understand as you obeyed, they have to obey. If not, they'll lose everything they had when it came from you. And God teaches them not to forget. Do not forget what and where you used to be. Sometimes a person will come and say, "Preacher, you know, I've really got a problem. I've been saved a number of years now. I just cannot forget the sin which I did many years ago. I just can't get over that sin." And I think sometime and I said, "Well, you know, that's probably good." Why is that? Because God said he'd forgive us. He didn't necessarily say you'd forget it. Why is that? Because not to forget it is probably to keep you from going back. Maybe a good thing sometimes not forget some things. You can be forgiven, though we cannot forget it. It's good for me to remember where I used to be. It's good, Brother JB used to pray, "God, don't ever let me forget where I came from." That means that you can't remember where you came from unless you remember some things that happened back there. That's how you know where you came from. Don't let me forget that, but let me understand, though I can't forget it, God has forgiven me. And I can go on with my head held high, though there be people in the world may remember that down through the years. In God's sight, he's the only one I got to please anyhow. I know that he has said he's forgiven me. Sometimes when they say that, we find that we just can't, because we can't forget it, we think maybe we hadn't been forgiven. That's a deception of Satan himself. And it's good. I appreciate and thank God more for what I have now. Sing that song, you know, "Happy Day That Fixed My Choice on Thee, My Savior and My God." Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and to rejoice every day, he said. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I may can't forget some things. By the way, I'll be honest with you. I remember things now as I get older more so than I did in my early mid years. I don't understand that. Some of you may be my age or older. I bet you do the same thing. Somehow or another, you've got something you hadn't thought of for 50 years, and all of a sudden you'd be somewhere on a ride or sitting in that thing and flopping. You know what it is? It's satanic. Trying its best to get you to go back and wonder what really happened. Just keep in mind, God said if it's under the blood, you're forgiven. I don't care. Maybe somebody, I don't know why God wanted me to say that this morning. Maybe somebody here today will listen and say, "You know what? I have some things that's so bad in my life. I'm glad nobody doesn't know about it." But you know about it. And if you've been forgiven for that, and praise God, you want to thank God that you're forgiven for that. Why? He promised that. He does not lie. If you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And you're forgiven of that. And just keep in mind, though you might remember it, it only keep you from ever doing something like that again. Because you understand what it does in an individual's heart like that. Someone else would use this pulpit one day Someone else is going to live in my house. Someone else is going to live in your house. Someone's going to sit in the pews where you're at. The Lord don't come back unless they demolish this place. Someone else is going to sit in my seat. You cannot be one thing at church and something else in this world. Teach one thing and be something else either. Just can't do that. I thought about some young folks as I made this message. Young folks, remember this. And if you don't remember something else, remember Pastor Ernest said this to you. And this is sure. I'm old enough now. I've had the experience. I know what I'm talking about. When it comes down to these where you're sitting right now, one of these days, before long, there'll be other teenagers sitting in the seat you sat in. Then you will be sitting where your parents are sitting at right now. And then you'll be watching your children when they misbehave like your parents watch you now. Your role's going to reverse in what it is. Or they'll see you when they can say, boy, I'm sure thankful my child really sits and listens to what God has to say through God's man. You'll be thinking the things that your parents are thinking about today when they sit in church with their children. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, it amazes me. You'll be saying about your children as they are saying now when they look at you. We understand, hey, we have been there. We understand what it is to be a junior. We understand what it is to be an adolescent. There's a big difference between the two. As a junior, I've just as much so to listen to my dad as I would as a toddler. But when I came adolescent, I thought I had more sense than he had, because he didn't know where I was at. Culture has not changed that much. Times have changed. But wicked is further now than ever. And we understand you're probably having a harder time than we did. But I want you to know you're going to change roles one day. And what God is teaching you now is going to help you then more so than you ever think it would. You'll be saying, why do my children act like they do? Why won't they listen? You'll be saying, why do my children think the way they think? One day, you're going to reverse the roles. You're going to find yourself, not only if you're here in the smaller and other classes, being adolescents. Then you're going to find yourself being young adults. Then you're going to find yourself being young parents. And then you're going to find yourself each decade, things changing, because your life will change. And as you begin to move in your life, you're going to find one day, then you will be the parent. And then you will be the grandparent. And you're going to realize that many things that you were taught in a Christian home, if you're in a Christian home, that's the best place in the world to be. Now, we all have our problems. Maybe not as many as faithful as others, and maybe there are some that, you know, don't separate like they should. But if you're in a Christian home, it's the best place in the world to be. Because God is implanting His Word. I would realize in my life that probably when I preach this book, there's people going to remember something years from now when I'm gone, more so than what you remember what I say right now. Because you see, if it's the Word of God, you can't get away from it. Amen. And you may think, I don't need that. Next 2 years from now, you'll face a calamity in your life and got to bring up that word that you heard where now it didn't mean a thing. Then will mean something, because now you face something. You need to apply power that you didn't have. And God will say, I already gave that for you, because you were raised in a place where God's Word was taught and preached and proclaimed, and you had guidelines around you to protect you from a world that you knew nothing about till you get in that world a little bit later. One of these days, it won't matter what kind of car you drive. One of these days, it won't matter what kind of house you live in. It won't matter how much money that you have. It will be only what you did for God. That's the only thing that's going to matter. The memory of the just is a blessed thing. I thank God Almighty for understanding that. The third thing the Bible says, the memory of the just is blessed, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. I have some great memories here, more so than anyone else. Just this past week, I met a person. He said, Brother, he said, you know, I don't know if you remember what I remember back when you came here and you were down, had that meeting, first meeting down in the town hall. I did. Chuck Sewell came and spoke. He said, I never forgot that. He don't come to his church. He goes to another church. He said, I went to that meeting that night, never forgot that. And I thank the Lord. I wish the church was alive today so he could come and see. Because he took a chance on this boy. I was a young boy, had a lot of zeal, very little knowledge, yet enough knowledge to believe this book is the Word of God. And I went to him, explained what I wanted to do. He listened to my testimony, he prayed about it, and he told me he'd come. He's one of the first men I ever approached about coming here, and he came and held that met service down there, filled that room up when we kicked this church off years ago. I remember him. He has a special place. We have some pictures of him in some of the archives. I remember Brother Chester Camp, bless his heart. He didn't just, he was a member of the First Baptist Church. They didn't have service on Wednesday and Sunday night. So on Sunday night, he'd come to our church. And he'd come every Sunday night. And I remember one day he talked about, we was just barely surviving. He talked about that he had an acre of land on the west side of Clayton. He always wanted God to have a church down here. Would we be interested in it? Man, do you think I'd say no to that? Amen. He said, I thought he wanted to buy it. I said, no. He said, no, I've offered to another group that don't take it. I'll give it to you if you want it. He said, I've got to keep my promise. They didn't take it. They decided to go to another place, and then they built the church, and then they had to sell the church later. They don't even meet where that church is at. Somebody else is meeting there now. See how God works all that out? And God, he wrote, indeed us out, an acre of land, free, where we built our roof tabernacle home. I remember Sam Spence, bless his heart, his son's on the Spence grocery store here in town, and he didn't have a car, so he rode his bicycle. Every Sunday night, he'd come ride his bicycle down to the dry cleaning building. I remember Mrs. Martin. Her husband was a Methodist preacher. We moved right when we moved to Clayton the first time. We moved right across the street from her. Blessed woman. One day she told me, talking to us, she said, preacher, she says, I've got some books. My husband left. They're locked up. I've never let nobody go through them. Nobody's been in them. She said, I feel led to let you go in through those books. And she told me where they're at, and I went to her house, and she gave me a half a day to go through those books. I picked out some of the, I'm not talking about modern day books, some of the old books. This fellow, I guess, we're talking about 40 years ago, and he was 80 when he died, wasn't he? So we're talking about books that went back beyond in the 1800s. And she let me go in, and I picked out, I want a hog, but I was a pig, amen. And I picked those books out, and I went and laid them to her, and I said, if you think this is too many, I forget how many, probably 20 of them, 30 of them or so. I said, if you think this is too many, I'll put some. She said, no, sir, if that's what you want, they're yours. And she let me have those books, and I still got them. Still got them. They're precious because they go back many years ago. I think about Sister Crocker. I'm talking about Pete for remembering Sister Crocker. Bless her heart, finest lady. My wife and I knew her, but Jimmy Crocker. She's the first lady that got killed in our church in a car accident right after the church service that morning in the old tabernacle. Never forget that. Then I think about other men, Brother Fuller. He was a faithful fellow. I think about Brother Sprouse. Every time I think about Brother Sprouse, I think about how about your heart. I can't do nothing but think about that song. He sang it so many times. Brother Luby, working with the buses. I won't forget, he loved that. He made one of the biggest popsicles of the bus you've ever seen. He took a number two wash tub and put a 2x4 right in the middle of it. And how he froze it, I don't know. It took the ice house, I guess. And I'm talking about member of things as a blessing, people who loved me as pastor and through the years. Then I think about Brother Troy Lee and Brother Jimmy Corbett. Brother Jimmy Corbett, Brother Troy Lee probably saved this church thousands of dollars because they gave their time. He was a first-class carpenter. He never charged us a dime for anything he did. And he worked night and day sometimes when he won't work in other places. Brother Troy Lee probably did more for us to save money by using his equipment here. He never would take a dime. I guess it would cost, no telling how much it would have cost if he'd charged for all he did here with his equipment in those early years. We had to move dirt. We had to do a lot of things. Water down here, we wouldn't even bend down there. I'm just telling you, I'm talking about remembrance. The memory of the just is blessed, God said in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. We could go on. Joe Tillen, nobody don't know him too much, but I remember Joe. Joe was saved out of the mafia. He was a member of the mafia when he got saved. Got saved and came and baptized in his family. What a joy it was to see him grow in grace and knowledge. And then the sad part about it, when he left, he had to get out of the mafia. They had a contract on him for a good while. He was scared to death for a number of times, for months and months and months after that. And then I think about one of the main things that he did one time. Back in those days, we had a radio broadcast over here in Garner, and we got in a financial bind at that time, and we knew we were going to have to give up that radio broadcast because we didn't have the funds to keep carrying it. And he heard me announce that, and next thing I know, about a week later, he came, knocked on my door one day, and said, "Pastor," he said, "I need to talk to you. God's touched my heart. I want you to let's keep that radio broadcast, and for the next 3 or 4 months, I'll pay for it, at least that much, to see if God will help us keep it." Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, that's the reason we have the WHPY radio. Now, I had nothing to do with WHPY when we started back 100 years ago. When that we was in Garner at that station, on that station, and we taped and played it back from 12 to 1 o'clock. But because of that, we got completely out and stayed there, and then next thing I know, we had a fella come and knock on my office door about starting WHPY here in Clayton, and he offers us such a great deal to go on there. We've been on it, I get 30-something years now. Been on it for the last number of years. I'm talking about, folks, the memory of the just is blessed. That's what God says. I'm living some things that I know of that's taken place here in this life. One of these days, some of our names are going to be called out. One of these days, folks are going to remember you and I. There will be folks who remember us because God let us start this church. I know that. There are folks that will love us even later, though they'll never see us if God keeps this church and can keep it where he wants to keep it at. There's not much to life. Life is like a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. It's like a sign on the road you're facing, and suddenly you're going by. It's that fast. Then I say to you, by life passing so fast, why is it we who are saved, why is it that we cannot understand some things it takes too much out of our life to do? And I thought, why do we get upset with each other? Why is it in this particular day our feelings get hurt and sometimes unkind to each other? We criticize each other. We are not here long enough to do such as that. God help us not to waste our time on things like that. We can make decisions about things that are right and wrong, and if somebody's wrong, then we'll take care of it. But I'm talking about we as a church body ought to understand that there's going to be some things remembered about us in the future, because God said the memory of the just is blessed. And I think about to meet these deeds that we have. What a joy it's going to be one day when we get to heaven on the other side. I told a brother recently, was talking to me about our church, and I pray one of these days that when we get to heaven, that God will let Fellowship Baptist Church, all those down through the years, meet together in one place and rejoice to go see the Lord. You say, "Preacher, that's hypothetical." Maybe it be. What's going to keep us from doing that?
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm telling you, you think God won't allow us to do that? Knowing that we've been saved and worked through the years here at this particular place? May God help us. The memory of the just is blessed. May God help us to lead, help us to lead members that honors God. Teachers that are witness, teachers that are faithful. Brothers and sisters who were faithful to the house of God. Brother so-and-so was faithful. Wouldn't it be a great thing? Let's not forget the form of government that God has given us. Let's not forget the men and women down through the years who have died that we might be sitting here on these pews today for our nation. Let's not forget what God has done for us. Let's not forget the memory of those before us, because God said those memories are blessed. Folks, listen to me. Be wise dealing with memory of the past. Your memory of the past, be wise in dealing with those memories of the past. Keep in mind, enjoy their pleasure. I wrote this down early this morning to cap off this message. Enjoy the pleasures of the past for those that can be enjoyed. Learn from those lessons of the past, but go on with the present as you approach your future to serve God. That's what really matters. Let us not forget what God has done for us. My Heavenly Father, I pray again you bless your word today to our hearts. I pray, Father, there's more we could say, because we're at the end of the service, I pray that you'd help us understand that God has still got a job to do. He's occupying in our hearts, and he wants us to occupy for him as he works through us. He took a abode in our hearts. Really, it amazes me that, Lord, there's kind of a headquarters of his function of our life is in our hearts as the Holy Spirit moved in to help us. I pray this morning, dear Father, that you'd help someone see this day is a special day. As we think back of our government, remember those who've gone before us here, and also remember what God has done for us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.